This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and on the first Friday of each month, we explore a topic of environmental importance, approaching it from more of a statewide perspective. My content partner for First Fridays is Lisa Wozniak, and Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and good to have you back at WEMU, Lisa.
Always great to be here.
As for our subject matter today, Lisa, shall we say that summer and all that comes with it is in full bloom?
Oh, you are so clever, David. Full bloom,
never
indeed.
Been accused of that before.
full toxic algae bloom, or otherwise known as cyanobacteria. And this bloom or blooming season is having a huge impact on our lakes, rivers, and streams, and notably Lake Erie.
Of course, that has been a case ongoing. And Lisa, our guest today, serves as the Agricultural Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. Tom Zimnicki, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Let me ask you this. How would you assess the Erie bloom so far this summer?
So what we're seeing out of Lake Erie right now and the projections moving forward is that this bloom in terms of size is going to be kind of middle of the road. Not as bad as some of the recent years we've seen around 2015, but still worse than other years.
Size is one issue, but it doesn't actually play a role in determining the toxicity of the algal bloom, right?
Correct, yes.
So has there been testing to this point to determine if we could face another incidence of water contamination like the bloom that cut off water to 500,000 people in northern Ohio and southern Michigan back in 2014?
There are some efforts going on to kind of work on predictive tools to better assess, you know, how toxic an algal bloom is going to be. For right now, my understanding is that they are still issuing kind of a you see it, stay out of it warning from the algae right now. In terms of current toxicity level or projections moving forward, I think that's still a little early on to fully understand what that's looking like.
So, Tom, sometimes I feel like we've gotten a little bit complacent about this. We've been talking about toxic algae for so many years, and even with a water shutoff that David mentioned, it's, you know, impacted thousands of people in southeast Michigan and in Toledo. It just seems like we're kind of, this is just the way it is. And yet both Michigan and Ohio have now declared the open waters of Lake Erie impaired. What does that really mean?
What the impairment means is that the waters are not meeting the intended uses of what they should be. So whether that's swimmable, fishable, you know, that should mean that the states move forward with developing, well, it gives them a footing to move forward with developing a TMDL, which is essentially a nutrient budget or a nutrient diet for, you know, how much can go into the lake. I think in terms of the complacency, and that's certainly something we see and we're tackling, it's tough right now because the state is obviously chasing a lot of different water quality issues that are going on in the state right now. To have something going on in Lake Erie, to have some level of effort, I think it's kind of allowed the state to say, okay, we're taking care of Lake Erie. We have people working on stuff there. You know, we need to address these other issues. And so I think that kind of fuels that level of complacency.
First Friday Focus on the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Michigan Environmental Council Agriculture Policy Director Tom Zimnicki. And my partner Lisa Wozniak from the Michigan League of Conservation Voters is here as well. And while we talk about impacts, potential complacencies, and the barriers to progress, Lisa, let's step back for a moment and talk about what the issues are. What has been identified as the primary causes of the algal blooms, not only in Lake Erie, but in many of our inland waters as well?
Yeah, there are a number of things that play into the creation of this cyanobacteria or the toxic algae. Fertilizer, for one, which is really rich in phosphorus, is a key ingredient to plant growth. And when it runs off farm fields and into our waterways, it fuels rapid growth of algal blooms that pose these really serious dangers to our public health and our drinking water and to our Great Lakes ecosystem, frankly. In addition to that, we've got sewage issues. You know, Michigan has over 100,000 failing septic systems. So there are a variety of different ingredients that go into creating this really toxic green muck. And right now, the state does have, as Tom pointed out, we do have an impaired status for our portion of Lake Erie, but the state's action plan, I would love to ask Tom about this and what he thinks about it. I think it actually lacks accountability mechanisms and certainly fails to address the septics issue. But what do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The state has largely doubled down on their approach to voluntary practices to reduce the primary load into Lake Erie being from agriculture. And that's not dissimilar to what we're seeing in other Midwestern states. And what we've really seen historically throughout the country is this reliance on voluntary practices that largely lack that accountability or that enforceability piece. And what we've seen throughout the country is that total reliance on voluntary practices just really doesn't amount to long-term and the needed reductions and benefits to the water body. And so to think that we're going to see something different in Lake Erie with a reliance on voluntary practices, I think is misguided.
So if you were in charge right now and you could make decisions to actually really impact this, what would you do? What would be the first one, two, three steps you would take to address this problem?
There are a couple things. You know, from a on-the-ground implementation standpoint, I think we need to do a better job around soil testing throughout the basin, understanding where we have, you know, really high potential for nutrient losses and nutrients leaching into the waterways. It would also help us kind of prioritize management practices. I think, you know, you hit on, Lisa, the sewage issue and the failing septics. I think good to not lose sight of the need to address septic systems through, you know, septic legislation, things like that. The other thing, too, and, you know, I just kind of point out, while we hear a lot, you know, farmers need to do more, you know, the state also needs to kind of step up and recognize that what we're doing isn't enough. You know, obviously, algae is causing a nuisance issue in the waters of Michigan, whether that's Lake Erie or inland bodies. And the state has an obligation to work with agriculture to put practices in place to prevent those nuisances from occurring, and clearly that's not as effective as we need it to be, given the issues that we're seeing throughout the state.
Once again, you're listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment, a WEMU partnership with Lisa Wozniak and the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Today, we're talking with Tom Zimnicki, the Agriculture Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. And Tom, agriculture is a big word, and I think it brings to mind different things in different people's minds. Is there a differing attitude between the small family farmer and the large agricultural industry when it comes to best practices?
The perception that I think a lot of people have about what farming looks like, you know, it's not all white picket fences and a small red barn that mom and pop are on. I mean, several of these operations are huge industrial scale facilities, and especially when we look at things like livestock production. You know, in terms of adoption of best management practices and conservation practices, yeah, I think you see the younger generations, you know, recognizing the need for better management practices. You know, they see the kind of the economic drivers and the market drivers that incentivize them to really have a more responsible and environmentally conscious operation. So you are starting to see more and more farmers kind of understand that and take that up. But, you know, in large part, the industry is dominated by a lot of federal policies that, quite frankly, don't really incentivize or promote the need for better conservation practices.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Are EPA rollbacks under the current administration going to play a role in how quickly or how not quickly we get this adequately addressed?
Certainly, I think the issues that we're seeing at EPA are going to inhibit, you know, progress in this, I think, for this administration, unfortunately. And then also kind of compounded on that is, you know, what comes out in the farm bill, I think probably won't do enough to really start pushing people in the direction of more kind of holistic and sustainable management practices.
And Tom, is it not only the farm bill, but given the fact that we're seeing some action to look at the Clean Water Act, is that also not going to be potentially impacting challenges that we face in Lake Erie and other places?
Yeah, there have been ongoing conversations about the Clean Water Rule under the Clean Water Act, kind of what that means in terms of what water bodies are regulated. That's been a real source of contention, both at the state and national level. I think all those things are creating really this perfect storm in Lake Erie and across the country, really, to where these issues, unfortunately, I'm worried, are just going to kind of remain stagnant for the near term.
And Lisa, what might the midterm elections mean for these issues at the state level and at the federal level?
Well, considering that this issue of algal blooms is a huge threat to public health, you know, dizziness, rashes, numbness, fever, vomiting, respiratory issues all being traced to toxic algae, the fact that it also is very connected to our economy and along coastal communities, and 1 in 5 Michiganders' jobs are dependent upon clean, fresh water, I think it's incumbent that we elect leaders in the state who understand this issue and are willing to increase funding for water quality monitoring, require farmers to implement proven best practices. We really need to tackle this problem. It's a huge threat to our way of life in Michigan.
And Tom, regardless of outcome in the midterm elections, potential and real solutions seem a lot further away than they are to today.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we are obviously optimistic eternally that we can make some changes and move things forward. I think there is a growing number of people that recognize that we need to be doing more and we should be doing more. And so we're going to continue to push those initiatives and to start moving that stuff forward.
And we'll let that stand as the final word. Thank you so much for your time today, Tom.
Hey, thank you so much.
That is Tom Zimnicki, the Agriculture Policy Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. And a thank you to you, Lisa Wozniak. I'll see you in September.
I look forward to it, David.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our partner in WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.